You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Welcome back, Bet Slippin' listeners. We're back with another episode of the Bet Slippin' Podcast. This is your host, Nathan Beagley. Finally, we got Jeff back. Yeah, obviously, as many of you know, he went to Outkick, took a role there. So we missed him last week. It's good to have you back, man. How have you been?
Pretty good. I missed you as well. My first non-bet slipping NFL podcast.
This hurt week. A little bit. And it was week one.
I know. My shit
took
forever. We did the whole preseason slate
just to miss week one.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
Life's a joke sometimes.
Sorry I couldn't make it, buddy. You guys are recording on I think Labor Day, right?
Yeah. No holidays, man. We're not about holidays.
It was my fantasy football league draft and kegger.
Strictly business at the Bet Slippin', sir.
I forgot. I mean, whatever. I set the groundwork for this stuff. I should be able to live up to this. My bad.
Absolutely.
I'm all right, business so
we'll
this week.
We'll do a quick recap with just mine. So I had Saints, Patriots, and Titans all miss the spread. That was great. So you left, and last year I finished great. This year my three spreads were off, and then the Jets team total under 17.5 hit, and then the Cardinals, as we both know, did nothing. Laid an egg. Kyler Murray short, and that one missed. The team total over 23.5. So I was 1-4. I'm sorry. We're going to be better this week. It's a promise from me to the listeners.
All right. Hopefully I can uphold my end of the bargain. I went 3-2 in my Circa Millions picks last week. So I'm off to a decent start.
Better than 2-3?
I heard some NFL like sharp better who's been like really successful in these contests over the years that said anything under 4-1 is pretty much you're like dead money at that point. You need to start 4-1 in week one. I was like, holy shit. So apparently I've fallen behind the pack, but hopefully
every underdog spread would have hit. Felt like it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to rebound this week as well. And I'm sure you are too. So hopefully hopefully we can help each other out here.
Let's hope on it. Yeah. We get a hell of a game for Thursday night football. I know these are all going to be previews, but they're all going to be slight recaps of the games in week one. There's not a ton to go off of, but so week one is Chargers or Thursday night football is Chargers at Chiefs. Probably one of the best matchups you could hope for. The Chiefs are -4.5. The total is 54.5. And the money line is -205. I'm sure I'm going to be playing this. I don't know how I'm going to be playing it yet, and I'm not going to give anything out as a pick. But how do you feel about this game? Do you think it's going to live up to the hype, the Herbert Mahomes hype? Do you have any betting angle you like to tackle on it?
I'm sure it'll be an exciting game. If I were to play any side of it, I don't have an official play on this game either as of right now. I will, like you, probably be betting something like Thursday right before the game. I think I'm going to end up on the Chiefs money line or Chiefs. It's -4.5 right now, right?
Yes. And I believe it opened at 3.5. It opened at 3.5.
Yeah.
So basically all the cash right now, it's 81% of the cash. And like I said, I think we went over this times last year. Pre-game, it's great. It's a great tool, but sometimes you can't really use it in your analysis on Tuesdays much when the games are on Sundays. But for the Thursday night game, it kind of does have some ability to be useful. So 81% of the cash is on the Chiefs and only 66% of tickets. I mean, they looked unstoppable against the Cardinals. I mean, I understand the Cardinals had lost a lot of pieces defensively. Like I said, Kyler had trouble with getting the balls batted. And honestly, when you were playing the Chiefs, if you don't stop drives, they're just going to keep racking it up. So, I think I'm probably on the same boat. I think you have to play the Chiefs until they play a close game.
Yeah, I mean, there's two concerning injuries to the Chargers. J.C. Jackson, he's their best cornerback. They picked him up this offseason, and then Keenan Allen, both of which are listed questionable. And to be honest, like I bet the Chargers. Those were one of my winners last week to cover 3.5, but I felt like I got a little lucky. The Chargers didn't play that well. Justin Herbert played pretty well. The defense played well, but they didn't. They only beat them, 24-19? I was kind of underwhelmed. I thought Vegas pretty much shit the bed, and I just think the Chiefs are going to buzzsaw through that defense. I think they're going to protect Mahomes a lot better than the Raiders' offensive line was able to protect Derek Carr. So if I were to play any side of it, it would be the it'd just be laying the points of the Chiefs. I'm not going to be touching the over. I think that what's that at? 53.5 right now?
54.5. And let me look at the money. The money is all, I mean, this feels obvious. It's all on the over. Open to 53, now it's a 54.5. We're talking 93% of tickets and money. So that's like the least shocking thing possible, but I can almost guarantee you I'll check pregame.com before the actual matchup and I will bet the under. I'll see 95% of the money on the over, and I'll be like, you know what, whatever. The books are not losing a Thursday night football total like that.
No, I agree. It's a sucker over. Everyone's going to be playing the over.
And it's going to end like 31-23 or something. Like it feels too obvious.
Yeah, and I didn't see enough out of the Chargers' rush defense last week to make me comfortable. I'm looking at ESPN's pass block. And then run block, like win rates. And Kansas City had the third best run block win rate last week. Granted, the Cardinals' defense sucks, but the Chargers' run-stop win rate was only 21st last week.
Well, I also didn't see enough, in my opinion, out of like – and I think Keenan Allen's going to be hurt.
Yeah.
I think he's out. And then, Austin Eckler had 14 carries for 36 yards. I mean, I know the Raiders have a pretty intimidating front four with Crosby in them, but I'm not buying it. I don't think the Chargers are going to be able to keep pace or really put up 25, 30 points on them.
No, and I'm looking at the last year's results. They split last season's series, each one in one game. But the Chiefs, they lost the first one at home, but I was on the Chiefs that week, and I remember them just pissing down their leg. They threw, I think, 3 interceptions inside the Chargers' 20-yard line and really should have scored 40 points. So now that I talk more about it, I probably am going to end up on the Chiefs, but I won't give it out as like a best bet in this podcast.
Yeah, let's keep moving then. We got a lot of games to cover. Mm-hmm. I like the Chiefs. Neither of us have bets. Probably play the under, stay on the Chiefs. I think that's probably consensus. Let's move into the 1 o'clock slate. So we're going to start with Dolphins at Rams, or Dolphins at Ravens. It's actually a pretty intriguing matchup to me. The Ravens are -3.5. The total is set at 44.5. I do have a play on this game. Do you?
Yeah, I already bet the Dolphins at 3.5. What did you bet?
Oh, I was going to take the Ravens at -3.5.
Uh-oh, we're oppo. Okay, we'll make your case.
Nice. My case is basically that secondary looks sick. I mean, it's tough to when you're playing the Jets, it's tough to really flex your might, but they have one of the best secondaries in the league, like my Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Williams just joined. And also, the Dolphins didn't look great as a run offense. Now, their defense is legit. That's obvious. But the Dolphins rank number one in pass rate over expectation. Mike McDaniel, he's San Francisco offense coordinator before. He's going to try to get Tyreek and Jalen Waddle involved. That was obvious before. I think it's just going to be pretty simple for Baltimore to be able to stop Miami. I think when the Patriots came in, I think it was a little too easy. Like, Mac Jones is a way different style of player than Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson may be more prone to getting the ball on the ground and not letting Xavier Howard and Byron Jones and not letting the Miami defense, which is also sick, be able to necessarily stay up on their receivers. I mean, the strength of the Baltimore offense since Jackson has come in to Baltimore has been their run game, and I think that's where Miami is weaker at. So I think it's just exploiting which sides, and when you have such a good secondary on the Baltimore side, and then you have such good secondary on the Miami side, but may not be as integral to their defense because of the Baltimore strength. Basically, all that to say, Miami's going to throw a lot, and Baltimore is a great defense.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair breakdown. I don't hate where you're going with it. I just think it's – I think the number is kind of tricky, and it's almost like a trap line. So Baltimore was projected this preseason to win two more games than Miami, 10.5 wins to 8.5 wins. They were also the favorite to make the playoff – or minus 150 favorite to make the playoffs, the Ravens were, and the favorite to win their division, which has obviously last season's AFC champion, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Dolphins were underdogs to make the playoffs at around plus 140 and a distant second behind the Buffalo Bills to win the NFC or the AFC East. Yet Baltimore is only laying 3.5 in Baltimore, and that's actually like a sneaky home crowd advantage. Like, Baltimore is a tough place to play. I think the line says a lot about how, like, the market feels about these teams, and they're not very there's not a lot of distance between these two teams. Also, last year when these two teams met, Miami beat them 22-10. Baltimore was 7.5-point favorites going into that game, and the game was played in Miami. Miami was 2-7 entering that game. Baltimore was 6-2. And Miami beat the shit out of them. Like, pretty much laid a blueprint on how you defend Lamar Jackson. And it's just pretty much running a zero blitz and leaving your cornerbacks on an island against their weak wide receivers. Their wide receivers aren't much better this week or this year than they were last year. They're probably worse. And Miami's got the same defensive personnel. So I think they're going to really, like, make it hard on Lamar Jackson. And the other thing is, I hated what I saw out of the Ravens last week. Like, I know that they won by multiple scores and the Jets had no chance in that game, but they didn't do shit with the ball for, like, the first 30 minutes of the game, and the Jets just put up no resistance. They kept punting or getting sacked. They had just terrible possessions, and, like, Baltimore really had nothing to worry about that entire game. So I don't think their performance against the Jets last week was too good. And I think the 3.5 pretty much suggests that. So I'll take the 3.5 with the Dolphins.
I will say I'm going to be interested if Miami, I guess, basically copycats it, because last year they also did have, you know, Brian Flores was there. They had a defensive-minded coach at the helm. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting if they basically just use those tactics again. I think this is probably one of the most interesting games of the 1 p.m. slate as well.
Yeah, I mean, with as stacked as the AFC is, like, I know this is kind of like, this might be overreacting, but this is a playoff game. Like, you guys can't drop these games.
Both of these teams are probably going to make it, either winning. Well, Miami probably won't win their division, but Miami's going to get a wild card spot, especially with how New England look. New England looked, I mean,
oh man,
it's tough, but I feel fairly safe saying that. But I think there's a lot to the game. Both teams kind of had interesting week ones, especially because Mac Jones didn't really play as well as I think most people thought, and the Miami defense did look sick. So there's positives on both sides there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to a game. We might not even talk about this game because I don't give a crap. Jets at Browns. The line is 5.5 for the Browns. The over-under set at 39.5. I thought about telling everyone to take the under here just because I don't understand where the scoring's going to come from. But last week I took all these dummy plays that made sense and none of them hit. So do you have any play in this game?
Hell no, man. I might try to drill down later this week to find like a player prop, maybe go under on something. I will say I don't know how much of this is the Ravens – run blocking or just like whatever, just week one jitters, but the Jets rush defense did pretty good against Baltimore, or Baltimore's rushing offense suck, one of the two. I can't really figure it out. And if the Jets rush defense comes to play against Cleveland, I think they could cover the number, but like rule number 35 about betting sports is you do not bet the New York Jets. So I will not be betting the New York Jets.
Hey, but I thought one of the rules was also do not bet the Giants. So
no, you're thinking of the Lions. You do not bet the Detroit Lions, which is our next game.
Dude, wrong. My bad. Yes. Yeah, so next game, Commanders at Lions. The spread is set at 2.5, -2.5 for the Lions. The over-under is at 49. There's a little bit of juice on the Commanders, +2.5. They beat the Jaguars in week one. And then there's a little bit of juice on the under, 49.5. I don't have a play in this game either. I think if I did have to have one, I probably do like the under here. I think the Lions offense did get a lot of steam from just the Eagles' pace of play. I think the Commanders are going to slow things down. That's about all my analysis on that. I didn't have much else because I'm not going to watch it, and I think that's a trash game.
I love Dan Campbell, and I, dude, I'm like the only one who's still a Carson Wentz stockholder. Like, it's the value is so low, and I'm just like, all right, I'll buy it all the stock. I will say,
I picked Terry McLaurin in numerous fantasy leagues because everyone was saying like, hey, Carson Wentz sucks, but Carson Wentz is an upgrade over Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah. Did you see his final stat line? Granted, yeah, Jaguars sucked.
He had like one of the highest fantasy points of the entire NFL.
Yeah, he played his ass off. I don't really get it. There's some sort of like media bias, but like if you really look at Carson Wentz's numbers and just take his name off the web page and you're just looking at the raw numbers, he's actually pretty good. Anyways. Yeah,
313 yards, 4 touchdowns, yeah. And then you're going to have him going up against a Lions defense that should be pretty good. I mean, Jeff Okuda's on that.
Whoa, that's your Ohio State bias.
Yeah, just had to say that.
Yeah, I know. Jeff Okuda, though, has not – I liked him coming out of college, but he has not played well ever.
Yeah, I had no idea either way. I just knew he was on the team.
Fair enough. Hey, I appreciate your honesty on the subject. I actually just made a bet on this game before we started recording, and I have it in a teaser with your team. I took the Commanders up to 8.5. Is it 2.5 on Tipico or wherever we're using the odds?
It's 2.5 on Tipico.
Okay, that's kind of where the market is, the consensus. So I took it up to 8.5 based on like the simplest logic ever. The Lions are addicted to playing one score games. They're not going to lose by more than one score, but they're certainly not going to win by more than one score. So, whatever, I'll just take the 8.5. Effect.
Yeah, Dan Campbell doesn't want. It's a mind thing. It's like he's in Family Guy. You don't want to be too smart. If he starts winning by too much,
yeah,
I'm just saying bad things happen.
Yeah, God forbid he gets a raise or an extension.
Yeah,
exactly. We'll be able to move out of Detroit.
Let me stop talking about the Lions because I know nothing. Do you have anything else to add on that one?
No, I will say, though, pat myself on the back here. The Cardinals were my best bet last week. That sucked. My second best bet, and I loaded up on this team, was the Commanders. I loaded up on them Sunday morning because I was not feeling good about the Cardinals. I was like, wait a second. I feel like the Chiefs are going to bust that ass. I'm going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and I'm doing it with the Commanders versus the Jaguars. So I should have sent that play to you because I was big about the Cardinals for weeks. You know that. We've been texting about that, or we've talked about that numerous times. So I should have been like, yo, dude, abort the Cardinals move. We're going Commanders.
I will say our unit size is certainly different, but I did have Commanders on the bet slip.
Nice, dude. Okay. It was just a sucker play. Everyone was on the Jaguars. And if you watch the game, which – I hope you didn't. Well, I thought it was pretty entertaining, but like, who's really watching the Jaguars Commanders? Really, very few people in Jacksonville or Washington, D.C. actually watched the game. But we did probably get a little lucky there as Commanders bettors. Like, Travis Etienne, I think, dropped a walk-in touchdown. Like,
I heard that.
So, but whatever. Hey, lucky bets cash. So I'll take it.
Absolutely. All right, let's move into an interesting buy low spot. Colts at Jaguars. The line right now is 3.5 for the Colts. It's a little juiced. So that means the Jaguars are +3.5. The line is set at 47.5. I personally think this is probably a pretty good buy low spot for Indianapolis. They're coming off a tie. It was against Houston. There's not a ton to love about them. Now, I will say it looked like they dominated that game, and it was just a lot of, like, jitters having to get out of their system. I mean, anytime Jonathan Taylor gets 32 touches and goes for over 160 yards, you're going to think they should absolutely obliterate them. It should have been, like, what was it last year, 31-3 or something. You would think that if you saw the stats from this game, it would have been that again. So I'm hesitant to bet against the Colts here, especially if they continue to build chemistry. I will say maybe I like the over here at 47.5, but I don't have enough. I didn't do a ton of research on this one. I don't have an official play.
Yeah, I actually didn't look at the box score last week, but the Colts had 13 more first downs than the Texans and 200 more yards. I didn't.
If you, all I'm saying is, if you just show someone, a random football fan, the box score, you would say 35-14.
Colts busted their ass.
352 yeah. yard. I mean, look at the yardage differences: 517 to under 300. Had double their rushing yards. They had. Yards per play was 5.7 to 4.4. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they busted Houston. Just the scores didn't hang up, and Houston stuck in the game. Honestly, you have to give props to the Texans, but that doesn't mean that I have to bet against the Colts round two.
So, okay. So it was part of your thing that the Colts, like, it's week one, new quarterback type thing? Is that kind of where you're getting at? Week one, new quarterback versus new coach, division opponent in their home.
Didn't you kind of see that with a lot of teams that kind of restructured important parts of their team? I mean, look at the Saints secondary. I mean, if you play that game against the Falcons in week 8, I would think the Saints win by 10 plus.
Well, we're going to talk about the Saints in a minute for sure.
It's just a difficult game when you have all these moving pieces. I mean, similar things with Joe Burrow. I mean, if you watch that game, he had multiple picks, especially in the first half, but it seemed like it was more just trying to figure out his offensive line and things and figure out the pace of the play. I think that was just kind of what Matt Ryan was going through. I mean, Matt Ryan's still a good quarterback, and if he's ever throws for 350 again, I would expect a team to put up more than 20.
Yeah. I do. You know, I'm kind of feeling what you're saying here. I do think, like, Jacksonville's year-over-year improvement is, like, overly baked into the line. Like, I think people are just assuming they're going to win 8 or 9 games or 7 or 8 games because they don't have Urban Meyer. But they're also a new, young team that sucked and has sucked for a couple years. Like, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be good eventually. But, like, that doesn't mean they're going to have a good year this year. And if the Colts are going to win, they're probably going to cover. But yeah, I mean, laying it on the road against the Jacksonville team, I do think we'll be better. I'm not going to go to the window with this one, but yeah, it's Colts or pass for me. I guess I'll pass.
Yeah, no, I was going to pass here too. Yeah. But yeah, no, that was exactly my thinking. So let's move on to a game where so I have 5 best bets, and 2 of them are coming from this game.
Oh, baby.
So I have a game that I love, and I'll probably watch it, and it's Buccaneers at Saints.
I have 1 best bet here. I already made the bet too. What are you on?
So actually, it's weird, this line on Tipico. Tipico right now has +2.5 for the Saints at +105 as the main spread. Sounds weird, right?
Yeah, because so shop around.
I wrote down earlier +3.5, and that's what I would give out. Because honestly, that's the only thing I would play. I wouldn't play the sub field goal because you just never know. But so it's Saints +3.5. And then it is, the total is set at 44.5. That's -110 both ways. So total 44, Saints +3.5. I'll let you go first. I'll let you hopefully side with me.
Well, I'm looking at my account right now. It's taking me a second to get to the open bets. I want to see what I got it at. I bet the Saints plus the points. I think I got it at... What's up?
That's just what I love to hear.
Yeah, I got him at +3, a flat +3. Well, not flat, -110. So the Saints have owned the Bucs the last 2 years in the regular season since Tom Brady's been there.
Especially in New Orleans.
Also, yeah, for sure. Well, they're 4-0 against them in the regular season.
Yeah, well, yeah, to add to that even further, I guess I didn't even have that. The Bucks haven't won in New Orleans in half a decade.
No shit. Okay.
Maybe just under half a decade, since like 2018, 2017.
I award the Buccaneers no points for their win and cover last week against Dallas. I thought
absolutely.
I thought Tampa Bay looked like shit. Dallas was just absolutely way worse. Zero. Yeah, like I was not impressed by that victory at all. There was actually, I'm not going to talk about it because this goes in the other part of my teaser. But I thought that Bucs win. I thought they're going to be more impressive. I thought Tom Brady and the offense was going to be crisper. And that win turned out to be more of just Dallas sucking. They could be without Chris Godwin and Donovan Smith. And if they're without Donovan Smith, that's going to be they're going to be with missing three linemen from last year's team. And the Saints' defensive line dominates the Tampa Bay offensive line. I also think we're getting some value because New Orleans didn't cover last week against the Falcons. They put up a relative stinker, I guess, against the spread. But it just took a little while for Jameis to click with his new offensive weapons. I mean, he has three new receivers. Chris Olave, they just drafted him. Michael Thomas didn't play with him the whole last year. And Jarvis Landry. He's behind a rebuilt offensive line. Falcons came in, played their ass off. Like, they threw some different stuff and brought some different stuff to the table that the Tampa Bay just can't. Now, obviously, it doesn't even need to be said, but Tom Brady is a much better quarterback than Marcus Mariota. But Marcus Mariota's ability to run is just a different thing that the Saints have to prepare for. And not having DeMario Davis worry about the quarterback running, which Tom Brady will not be running, frees him up to defend other people. Also, going back to the offensive line thing, another big absence from this offense is Gronk. Like, this offense lost a lot of blocking. They're going to possibly be without Chris Godwin as well. I really don't ding the New Orleans for getting off to a slow start. It was pretty much the full Jameis experience. I mean, he did this at Florida State. He would play like shit for the entire first half and then throw his team back into it. This guy, we were laughing about it. Me and my buddies were laughing about it while we're watching football. Jameis Winston started off 3 of 7 with 8 yards. But ended up with 270 yards, 2 touchdowns, 111 quarterback rating. And he had the second best completion percentage over expectation last week. Like, he killed it. It was really ugly initially. So, Saints have the better defense. I think they have the better offense. Definitely much healthier. They're home. I'll take the points for sure. And they're going to win outright. I'll take them in the money line too.
Yeah, I think there's just a few things that I would even further add to that is Marshawn Lattimore over the last few years has absolutely owned Mike Evans. Like, he's been Mike Evans' daddy over the last several years. So, like, and that's just a matchup I'm willing to take. And with Godwin out, I mean, I do like that Julio looked good, but what did the Bucs do last week? They ran the ball over 30 times. And what was it? The Saints I was looking this up because I used to cover the Saints for a fan-sided site. And when I was covering them every week, there was like an update that the Saints would go another year. The Saints went more than 3 years without allowing a 100-yard rusher.
Holy shit.
In late 2020. It was broken in late 2020. But a lot of those same players, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore, a lot of those same players were on that team. I mean, they have a legit defense. And I think their safety combo, when Marcus Williams wasn't back, they're bringing in Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, they lost the safety combo they did have with Bell and Williams. So having Tyrann Mathieu, I think there's a developmental phase as well, kind of as we were talking with maybe the Colts and other things. So I think we saw them put it together in the fourth quarter. I think if you replay that game, you might see a Saints dominant win. I mean, and that's what we were both betting on.
Well, I did not bet the Saints. I actually do. Well, I had the.
I thought you bet the Saints, but never mind.
I had the sexiest handicap on that game. I took Kyle Pitts under 16.5 yards at full finish with 20. It was lovely.
Dude, he had a ton of targets, though. He had number one targets around the team.
Oh yeah, he did. Oh man, I love
and
that
I
handicap.
I think the other thing I wanted to put is that I think so I have the Saints plus three and a half, and I have the under 44.5. I think I think this bet really started to ring with me when I was watching the Monday Night Football game and I watched Tom Brady settle for field goals on like four straight possessions. And I think that's going to be a struggle. I think scoring touchdowns in this game is not going to be easy. So the Bucs' secondary strength is with Antonio Winfield in that secondary. Tampa allowed just 173 passing yards. I know that was between Dak and, or maybe they did it. Maybe, yeah, they allowed 198 passing yards in week one. And that was between Cooper Rush and Dak. I understand they were in the lead, but they want to play it slow. I mean, Tom Brady's not going to play a hurry-up offense. Leonard Fournette's going to own this game, and I think they're going to be able to limit what Michael Thomas does. So, and then you also have to put in the Saints did score 10 points through three quarters, so there could be some regression. I mean, obviously they're not going to score 17 every quarter. So, I don't know. I see this game being slow. I see the Bucs trying to churn out a lot of games this season, relying on their defense, kind of like they did, or relying on kind of slow, methodical Tom Brady to kind of own the game. And when you rush over 30 times in a game, that's what you do. And I think the under 44.5 is a bet I certainly like too.
I don't hate it.
Yes, sir. All right. Enough on that game. That game might be one of my favorites, but let's move on to another game I don't care about. Panthers at Giants. The line is, this might be your favorite game of the week. Line's at -2.5 for the Giants, over under set at 42.5. The Giants are favorites.
Yeah, I'm a Giants fan.
How do you feel?
I think this isn't even me being a fan. I think we're going to beat the shit out of the Panthers. Like, real bad. Real bad. We beat the, like, hold on. I'm going to find the
You might be a little public dog, too, because I feel like people are going to see the 2.5 line, and I think everyone's just like, actually, I don't know, because I think everyone likes McCaffrey, but the highlights from Barkley last week were pretty sweet, so.
So
maybe the Giants actually do get a lot of public love, because man, I swear, if you just took every team that had the less cash on it in week one, you would have won a ton. Like the books were robbers in week one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they killed it. So there's a lot more, according to VSiN at DraftKings. There's a lot more money on the Giants, but the tickets are split. According to pregame, there's like 67% of the action and money on the Panthers, so they are becoming a public dog. But last year, the Giants beat the Panthers 25-3. They were missing Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, and Saquon Barkley, and we beat the shit out of that team. Like, it was embarrassing how bad were the Giants last year. We beat the shit out of the Panthers. We effectively ended their season. And honestly, like last week's loss, I think to the Cleveland is just going to be a huge emotional letdown. Like that was Baker Mayfield's Super Bowl and they choked that game away. And like the Giants, Brian Daboll's first game literally could not have gone any better. They beat the defending or the last year's one seed in the AFC, and a come-from-behind win on the road. This guy chewed out our shit-ass quarterback on the sideline. He got Saquon Barkley going again. We were missing our two best pass rushers. He went for two to win the game and then danced in the locker room. Like, what a performance. What an epic performance. And I just think, like, the vibes are so much better. Like, this is the first time the Giants have had a winning record, and they're only 1-0, in 6 years. Like, I think Giants Stadium
moral
is going to be...
Moral wins.
I think Giants Stadium is going to be rocking. Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield have a little bit of beef because Baker Mayfield clowned that draft selection. And I was really disappointed in the Carolina Panthers defense last week. I was a lot higher on them coming into the season. Jacoby Brissett sucks. He sucked last week, and still they couldn't do shit against the Browns' rushing attack. I mean, it's pretty obvious you put 8 or 9 in the box and make Jacoby Brissett throw against bump and run coverage, and they couldn't do it. So I think the Giants are gonna hammer the Panthers. I actually do, and I am biased as a Giants fan, but I don't pick them with bias. Like I think they're going to beat their ass straight up.
It's the passion I needed.
Huh?
I have nothing to add to that game, but I can appreciate what you just gave us.
Dude, I'm pretty light on the next game, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I'm light on the next few. So if you have anything, let's turn it up. We got Patriots at Steelers. It's basically a pick 'em. It's 1.5, -110 both ways, and it's 40.5. I don't really have much analysis here. I want to bet the under just because I don't know where points are going to come from. Najee Harris is hurt. Even if he plays, he's hurt, and TJ Watt's out. And I don't see the Patriots with a injured Mac Jones really scoring on a defense that's pretty good at stopping the run. So if you have any better analysis, let me hear it. But I would play the under and stay away from that disgusting total or spread.
The total is 40.
40, but it just feels like a sucker play. Everyone's going to be on that under. They don't have a single playmaker on the field.
Is there,
Najee Harris had like 10 yards or like 20 yards against the Bengals.
Yeah, 90% of the money on DraftKings is on the under.
I'm done giving out plays that feel so right. That feel so right.
No, you're onto something. Like the best bets are the ones that you don't feel great about. It's like, I shouldn't be making this. Well, that's kind of how it works, you know? Like, that's how gambling works. No, I just can't get behind any side in this one. Like, in my opinion, the Steelers roster from top to bottom is so much better than the Patriots roster. Then, you know, Tomlin, short dog or coin flip game at home, like, that makes me feel good. But where I, like, pretty much just walk away from the Steelers, it's Bill Belichick versus Mitch Trubisky. Like, I'm not betting on Mitch Trubisky here. No way. So
I love that analysis. All right, let's move on then. Falcons, Rams. I don't have anything on this one. Largest spread of the day, 10.5. Falcons at Rams. It's -10.5 Rams, and then the total set at 47.5. I think you can make a case for me that AJ Terrell can do a good enough job on Cooper Kupp that I could bet the Falcons +10.5, but I'm not going to, and I'm not going to really talk any more on it.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, that's where I'm at here with it too. I definitely wouldn't lay the points with the Rams because, you know, what we saw week one was concerning. Then again, I do think the Bills are the best team in the league, so whatever. They got beat by a great team. And I do think the Falcons are feisty. I do think they can attack you in weird ways just with Mariota as their quarterback and Cordarrelle Patterson, who can do anything on offense. As whatever running back, tight end, whatever position that guy plays, they just put him on the field. But I don't know. It does feel like a sucker bet. You know, it's like 10 points. Like, how can you not take 10 points? They just covered against the Saints. Like, I don't know.
That is what I'm saying. I'm done with these. I'm done with giving out a play where it's like everyone is going to be like, they just covered Falcons. Rams right. Look horrible. And then you just come out and you see the Rams win 31-7.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
Rams you're like, of course. I knew the Falcons were horrible this whole time.
Yeah. Like Rams go up 21-0 in the first half, and you're hoping Marcus Mariota throws you back in the game. It's like, you can rip that ticket up.
Yeah. I'm done at that point. All right. Let's move on. Unless you got anything more?
Nah. I'm cool.
Seahawks at 49ers, another game that I think is going to be kind of a stinker. The Seahawks actually I think the books think the Seahawks Super Bowl was on Monday night, which I can understand, but the Seahawks are +9.5. There is some juice on the 49ers. So the 49ers are -9.5, -117, and then the over-under set at 42.5. I think a lot of these games, not a ton of these games interest me this week. It's either two teams without a ton of star power or a team versus another team that has a spread I'm not going to bet. After I saw it, now, I will say, I think we take for granted how bad Trey Lance looked, and considering they played in the monsoon, and they're a little less gritty than the Bears, I would say. So I can understand laying the points with the 49ers. I think there's a lot of points here, and I think people are going to play the Seahawks at 9.5, but ultimately, I'm going to stay away from this. I think the under 42.5 is pretty good. I think Geno's going to look a little more rattled, but that's my early analysis. I didn't actually do like a deep dive into this because I don't think I'm going to bet it, but give me your thoughts. I feel like this is a game you like.
No, there's no way I could bet the 49ers. I think their coach is overrated. I think they completely shit the bed with this team, trading up for Trey Lance. They should have just ran it back with Jimmy G because I think Trey Lance is a dead end. I mean, at best, he's a year away. But I don't like the Bears personnel, the Bears team is terrible. And I mean, it's not like it only rained for the 49ers. It rained for the Bears too. And I mean, like the 49ers choked that game away, and the quarterback just to me isn't the guy. I think he's a backup at best. But Seattle is coming off of like a big emotional letdown. Like that was a huge win, right, at home. They got very lucky to win that game. They frankly got lucky to even cover. There's a lot of like red like fumbles inside the 5 yard line. Like Broncos definitely outgained them. But I mean, Pete Carroll, in my opinion, is a much better coach than Kyle Shanahan. And going against a shitty quarterback, I think I would take the points. But it does feel like kind of a sucker play, right? I mean, this is a big number considering how bad the 49ers looked and how the Seahawks won at home on Monday Night Football. So that's concerning.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am as well. So let's carry on to games that sound a little more interesting. So Cooper Rush, Dallas Cowboys sound interesting to you because the Bengals sound interesting to me. So I'm pretty sure this game actually opened at Cowboys -2.5. But I think it may have opened technically before the news of Dak Prescott being out fully rippled through the league, because now it has Bengals -7.5 going on the road to Dallas, and the over-under is set at 42.5. I think this game's tough because I think it's pretty obvious that most people are going to be on the under and the Bengals, despite the total. I think this is a strong play. I'm not going to bet it. At least I'm not going to give it out. But I think it could be a strong play for Dallas +8.5, +7.5.
Oh, you take Dallas?
Only because it just feels like I'm literally looking at Tipico. 90% of the tickets are on the Bengals. Like, does that not worry you at all? I feel like they're going to be such a public favorite that it's hard for me to be like, yeah, that's a lock.
Yeah, but that's the only thing that worries me.
Yeah, that's the only thing on their side. Because, I mean, so ESPN has this FPI ranking, Football Power Index, and I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but they have Dallas as the worst team in the NFL. It takes into, like, injuries and recent play and everything. Yeah, Dallas sucks. For all intents and purposes, they're awful.
Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott looked like shit when he was – I don't know when he broke his thumb, but he looked bad the entire game.
Elliott looks like an old man.
Yeah, I mean, CeeDee Lamb isn't getting separation. Their offensive line is a complete shell of what it once was. And the big thing that jumped out to me last week that I can't stop thinking about, did you watch the Sunday Night Football game with the Bucks-Cowboys?
I watched the second half.
Okay, so the first half, actually, you missed some stuff that I'm going to use here. So the first half, obviously, the Cowboys were still in the game. Dak Prescott was still playing. There was absolutely no juice in that stadium. That crowd was dead. I think Joe Burrow and Cincy is going to come in angry and just steamroll this team. Like, I think they're going to beat the shit out of them. Like, I think the Cowboys are going to roll over. They're going to roll over from Mike McCarthy. And it's going to be a really nightmare season. Maybe Dak, when he comes back, can kind of raise their performance. But no, I think Cincinnati, like, they put up a stinker last week at home. But, like, turnovers and sacks were a big reason for it, you know. And I just don't think the Cowboys' defense can be able to turn over Cincy like that or get to Joe Burrow as often as the Pittsburgh defense was able to. And I just think, like, Cincy's just going to be mad and just put it on Dallas Cowboys. So I placed – this is the second part of my teaser. I took the Commanders up to 8.5, and I got this at 7.5, and I took it down to 1.5. But I would still play it at 8.5 down to 2.5. I just think Bengals are going to beat the shit out of them. I really do.
I mean, every number you look at basically suggests the same thing. I mean, what do you have? I think the only thing that is kind of nice is that T. Higgins probably isn't going to play, which means that Trayvon Diggs will get Ja'Marr Chase, and then you have other players like maybe Tyler Boyd trying to produce. So And then I think on the other end, so my play on this game was going to be the under 42.5. And I think it's really just because what are the Cowboys going to try to do? The Cowboys need to get their run game going. But the Bengals have a strong defensive line. I mean, that's what took them to the Super Bowl last year, practically. I mean, Najee Harris had 10 carries for 23 yards. I expect Cooper Rush to have some success. But if CeeDee Lamb doesn't get open and Dalton Schultz doesn't get open, and I mean, the Bengals have a quick, aggressive, good defense. So, it would just be shocking to me to see Rush and company get over 14. I think 42.5 is a pretty good number here. So Rush played in one game last year, as I'm sure we both remember. It was that Minnesota game where it was 2016.
Yeah.
You remember that game, don't you?
Yeah.
I was about to say, that game scarred into your memory.
Of course. I mean, it was just your typical Kirk Cousins choke job in primetime. What was the final score of that game? I'm going to pull it.
2016.
20-16. Yeah, again, it's just Kirk Cousins didn't show up in primetime. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes, actually.
I have the Vikings plus 2.5. So.
Oh, my God. You can set your to Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is an alpha this year. He has turned the corner. He is turning the corner.
Okay.
But either way, I have the under 42.5. I think the Bengals may be without a top weapon, and I don't trust the Cowboys offense to do anything right now, especially because their offensive line missing multiple players from last year's team.
Dude, I kind of want to go Stu Finer here and just be like, dude, the Bengals might put up 45 on them. Like, I think Bengals are going to beat the shit out of that team.
I mean, that's the only concern. But I mean, I guess that means that you think most of the I think you, so you would say that it was the Bucs struggles rather than the Cowboys red zone defense.
I didn't like anything that I saw out of the Bucs, and I'm willing to excuse Cincinnati Bengals just because Mike Tomlin is just an animal, and that defense is really, really talented. And like, yeah, I mean, did Joe Burrow play in the preseason at all? Did Ja'Marr Chase play in the preseason at all?
I just think there's a good chance that the Cowboys offense does nothing, and then Micah Parsons gets two or three sacks, ends those possessions, and then it ends up being 31-10.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Or, I mean, even 28-10 or something. So, I mean, I like the under 42.5. I think that's a good number. I mean, I think that'll probably be, if you want to call my squares play, because I think that the public will be on that too.
But if you think one of the teams is going to get to 30, do you really want to go under 42?
Yeah, that's a strong point. Maybe I'll nix that one off.
That's my – I just tease it down. I don't see the Bengals losing to Cooper Rush after – losing their home opener. Like, because this is another, like, I mean, it's such a small sample size, but it's kind of a must win, right? Like, especially if the Browns, they have the Jets. If the Browns go 2-0, I don't know. You don't, if the Browns go 2-0, if the Steelers beat the Patriots, like, they're 2-0. I mean, the Ravens already got a win under their belt. Like, you can't. Like, I don't think you can mess around with this team, and I think the Bengals are just gonna rain fire and hell on the Cowboys in Dallas. Like, I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I might even put it, like, I'm struggling to come up with a fifth pick for my Circa Millions. I might just lay the 8.5 with Cincy, because I don't think anyone, like, none of these contest players is all like fake sharp shit, kind of like me, where it's like, well, I don't want to lay 8 points on the road against I don't want to lay 8 points on the road, you know, type thing. Like, overthinking it when, like, the Bengals are probably going to beat them by 20. That's kind of where I'm at with it. So,
yeah, no, I agree. All right, cool. Let's move on, get to these later in the afternoon. I don't have a single thing on Texans Broncos. Or actually, here, let's get to no, that one's in order. Texas Broncos. So, Broncos are -9.5, which. We're talking about some games where these lines feel unfathomable, and then you just have the favorites just crushing it. Rams went beat them by 30, whatever. The Broncos are -9.5, total set at 46.5. I don't have a play. I think I would take I'd be a sucker and take the 9.5 for the Texans, but Russell Wilson's going to play better. And like you said, they had a lot of goal line issues that are probably going to be fixed.
I'm with you on the whole Texans feel like a sucker play, but it's kind of the only way I would play it. Davis Mills looks pretty good. Like, I mean, like, and the Texans have good players. Like, Jerry Hughes played his ass off last week, still has it. Brandon Cooks plays well, like, is an above average number one wide receiver, I would say. Like, he's consistently at 80 catches, 1,000 yards, really, regardless of who's throwing him the football. So they got some players, and that coaching blunder out of Nathaniel Hackett last night was just completely brain dead. I would have fired him already, and I don't like to treat coaches like that, but, like, in no world do you take the whole play clock with a quarterback that's a top 10 paid quarterback in the league. Like, did you watch the Manning cast? Peyton Manning was doing the exact same thing I was doing, because he was thinking, like, Russell Wilson, top 5 quarterback. Like, take a timeout, get a good play.
You had all three.
Like, I don't understand how, like, where do you think it's a good idea to kick it from 64 yards? And then you have ESPN analytics saying, oh, the win probability if they kicked it from 64 yards out was 30%, but if they went for it, it was 29.6. Like, really? There's a 30% chance a kicker makes a 64-yarder? Really? Okay.
But then I thought I heard, like, other analytics say, like, oh, well, there's never been, like kickers are 0-4 past, like, 57 yards at Lumen because it's outside and you're not in a dome with high altitude.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thought to have this guy kick a 64-yarder. So, based on what I saw, and I'm just not a Russell Wilson guy, I'm not going to lay whatever it is, 8.5, 9.5. But, yeah, to go back to your earlier point, it just feels like a sucker play to take the points as well. So, I'm just going to stay away. All right.
Let's move on to another sucker play. Cardinals plus 5.5 feels like a sucker play. So, our next game is Cardinals at Raiders. The line is a nice even -110. Raiders -5.5 obviously is their home. Cardinals +5.5 as they decided to not show up against the Chiefs last week. The over-under set at 51.5, which I think feels like a good spot to play the under. Interesting. I like the Raiders. The Raiders defense line, didn't they add – did they add Chandler Jones? Or who added Chandler Jones?
Raiders.
Yeah, so the Raiders have Chandler Jones and they have Max Crosby. Do you really think that I think the thing that really jumped out to me last week was how problematic it is that Kyler Murray's short. And that sucks to say because I like Kyler Murray, but I honestly don't think he could see over his offensive linemen a lot. And a lot of his passes were tipped.
Yeah.
And I think when you're going against a Raiders team, I don't know if I really see the Cardinals hitting 21 or whatever.
Okay, I don't hate your take for the under. I don't have a play in this one. If anything, I'd bet the Cardinals just because, like, last week was so bad. I can't imagine they play like that bad again. And, like, just, like, the Chiefs have, like, a Warriors thing where it's, like, if you're going to play at their pace and you have to keep up with them, eventually they're just going to gas you. And I know the Cardinals didn't even really keep up initially and just it was all Chiefs. But the Raiders just aren't going to have the same success, you know, on offense that the Chiefs were able to. And this is getting to a number where it's like, do you really want to lay it with the Raiders? Like, how often have they been this big of a favorite for the past 5-10 years? Like, they never lay these many points. So I do think there's a bit of an overreaction. But then again, I don't know how much of an overreaction because the Cardinals looked really, really bad. Like, really bad. And they're injured.
Their secondary couldn't do anything. I know Buda Baker's good, but their secondary did nothing to slow them down.
Yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire probably had one of the best games of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a full-on ass beating by the Chiefs. But I mean, if J.J. Watt returns, I can see them getting, like, enough juice, enough excitement to keep it within the number. I don't know. It's just this game doesn't do anything for me either which way, to be honest.
Yep. No, I agree. All right, let's move on. Sunday Night Football. So we have Sunday Night Football and 2 Monday Night Football games. We got our best bets. So let's get to our Sunday Night Football game, Bears-Packers. The line is 9.5. The total set at 42. It's basically same odds, -112 for the Packers, -9.5, -112 for the over. I think it's kind of a sucker play to take the Packers here. I don't think anyone wants to take the Bears. But, and I know that Aaron Rodgers owns Chicago, but it feels like this is going to be an Aaron Rodgers game where he comes from behind down like 17-3.
Okay. I'll go with that because I don't really have anything else about, in the game.
Yeah, I mean that. No. I mean, we can move on.
I have to find something to say. I guess I don't have to, but like the Packers looked out of sorts for the most obvious reasons. Both their tackles are injured. They're effectively down three wide receivers from last year's team. Davante Adams, Marquez Valdez-Scantling both went to different teams, and Alan Lazard's injured. So it looked like it, right? They played like it, but like there is an argument to be made where the Vikings are pretty good. The Vikings were the home team, and the Packers laid an egg last year in week one and were fine. So maybe, you know, maybe that's what happens. Also, it's like Justin Fields in primetime versus Aaron Rodgers, or Packers with Aaron Rodgers versus Bears in primetime. We've seen that play out in the Packers' favor a bunch of times over the years. But based on what I saw out of the Packers and just like how surprised I was about the feistiness of the Bears, I definitely won't be laying the points at the Packers. Might be able to talk myself pregame into betting the Bears plus the points because like you said, I could see just them needing Aaron Rodgers' magic to kind of pull them out of a slump. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I don't really have anything else in that game. Let's go to Monday Night Football, kind of wrap it up soon. So we have Titans at Bills. The line's 9.5. I know you love the Bills, but that feels like a sucker line given how good of a coach Mike Vrabel is. So the line's 9.5, and the over-under is set at 49.5. I don't have a play on the game. I just think I would play the Titans. I think it is an overreaction that they lost to the Giants. I think the Giants coaching staff is probably a little bit better, and people realized how good Saquon is versus the Titans just suck and Mike Vrabel's a bad coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to bet the Titans for sure. I actually talked about this last week on my podcast, Outkick Bets with Jeff Clark. I was going to write this handicap in the preseason. I pretty much predicted exactly the setup to this game. So I said the Bills are gonna handle business against the Rams. They're gonna beat them, and then the Titans are either gonna put up a stinker and lose to the Giants or not cover against the Giants. Now everyone preseason was down on the Titans. So they see the results of the Giants game and it's like confirmation bias. Like, see, I knew the Titans were gonna suck, right? The Titans were getting 7 points in the preseason line to the Bills. It's up to what, 9.5, 10 right now? It's just like,
yeah, and it's 9.5, and I can almost guarantee you it gets to 10 before kickoff.
Yeah, everyone's betting the Bills, and I just think it's an overreaction. And it's just like almost like it's like NFL betting universe, right? Like everything says the Bills should beat the Titans, but that's just not how the NFL works, right? The Bills, the best team in football, just beat the defending Super Bowl champions. They're on extended rest. Starting their home opener, they have their home opener against the Titans team. Everyone's expecting to be bad this year. So we've seen Mike Vrabel cover as a favorite or as an underdog. He's 2-0 straight up and against the spread when getting 9+ points. Granted, it's a small sample size, but I think the Titans are going to cover this number somehow, some way. I don't really have a lot of football based logic behind it. It just feels like in the cosmos, like a Titans.
Yeah, I mean, considering how much you love the Bills, it's hard to be like, yeah, the Titans are going to keep this game close, because you want to be like, yeah, the Bills are the best team in football. But at the same time, it's like, no, I'm not going to bet the team that's going to get 90% of the money and be a double digit favorite.
Yeah. And just, it's so easy to make a Bills argument. Like that's part of gambling on the NFL, is just kind of like swallowing it and be like, you know what, fuck it, I'll take the Titans. Whatever.
Like I think I might give it out. I might end up, I think we just talked me into being like, you know what, Monday Night Football, it's going to be the more watched game. I mean, I should have done an analysis on like how many Monday Night Football games have actually ended outside of double figures, because I feel like like primetime games are meant to be close games.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't prove that, but all right, cool. Let's carry on to our last game. Seems like we might be a little oppo on this one if you think Kirk Cousins sucks.
Who doesn't?
Vikings at Eagles. The line is 2.5. It's minus, so it's there's a little bit of juice towards the Eagles, -2.5, and the over-under is set at 50.5. I'll let you rip into Kirk Cousins' primetime action before I like everything else about the Vikings roster.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're a public dog right now. According to pregame, 88% of the bets have been placed on the Vikings. According to VSiN and DraftKings, 71% of the bets have been placed on the Vikings. That number is staying right where it opened at -2.5. And yeah, I mean, the Vikings, it's just your classic overreaction. Like, the Eagles didn't cover last week against the Lions, the shit-ass Lions, and the Vikings slayed the reigning NFC North champion, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and beat them pretty convincingly. But again, the Packers were without three wide receivers from last year's team. They were without two tackles. They didn't play at all in the preseason. Aaron Rodgers is doing Joe Rogan. He's doing Bill Maher. He's doing the whole talk show circuit.
Matt McAfee. I saw him doing an interview with Barstool.
The Sunday conversation. He's everywhere. You know what he's not focused on, apparently? Football. And you know who also didn't look very focused on football? That was the Packers coaching staff. Like, I can pull it up, but did you see that Justin Jefferson catch where he's wide open in the middle of the field? Now, I don't care what part of the season it is. You cannot lose Justin Jefferson. That you can't lose that guy. Like, that needs to be the first thing that you'd establish on defense is, where is Justin Jefferson on the field? And that guy was running clean open a couple times. So I guess what I'm getting at is, I don't think the Vikings played that well. Like, I really don't. I think the Green Bay Packers played like shit, and the Vikings just beat them. And I just think this is like an overreaction. Like, I think the Eagles are going to be able to run the ball over the Vikings. And the other thing that we talked about already is just being able to set your watch to Kirk Cousins underperforming in primetime. He's 2-9 straight up in his career in Monday Night Football. His only two wins were against the Chicago Bears. He beat Nick Foles and Justin Fields. The scores of those games were 17-9 and 19-13. This fool didn't score 20 points. He didn't do shit. Like, it's just perfect. You're going to go to Philly and their home opener, and you're going to follow 88% of the public? Go ahead, Nate. I'll book the action. I mean, you don't even have to go to Barstool. You can bet me. I'll take it. I'll take the bet.
Yeah. So I had, like, a little paragraph on how, like, I liked Darius Smith. But if your point is that the Packers just suck, and I think after what we saw Packers-Saints last week won, I think it's a fair thing to say that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't care coming off the offseason. It's almost like he's got to flip the switch 3 weeks in where it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna care. Now, for all intents and purposes, Minnesota dominated that game. I mean, they did have 6.5 yards per play. They have a new offensive minded head coach. They have explosive linebackers. They got Smith. They have, I mean, Harrison Smith in the backfield. And I think the Eagles, I feel like, should have been better defensively. And I mean, I know offensively they put up 38 points. I mean, when the Lions are starting a sixth round pick and Anzalone and your linebackers, of course they're not going to keep up with a lethal Eagles run attack. But the Vikings should be better defensively with Smith, both Smiths. So not a single Packer went for over 50 yards, and they have two elite running backs. And the Eagles put up over 100 against Detroit. I assume that might have actually meant to be 200. Did they put up over 200 yards against the Lions? Do we know?
Who?
The Eagles run.
I feel like
that meant to be 200. But either way, I thought the Vikings were impressive. I can understand the point that, like, hey, maybe Rodgers sucks and Kirk Cousins isn't a primetime guy. The Vikings were still 3-2 as road dogs last season, while Philadelphia was just 3-4-1 against the spread at home. And I think this 2.5, I mean, obviously it could come down if truly 88% of the tickets, but again, how, I guess we're going to have to see that count come more towards the, I don't think anyone's actually bet Monday Night Football right now.
Yeah.
Unless you're just saying just the sharps have, because who's no normal bettor is betting Monday Night Football right now. No chance.
No, but it's like, I don't know, you ever watch the election, like on election night on MSNBC?
Well, it's thrilling.
And they're able to like pretty much award the candidates states after like 2% of the voting.
Oh,
like
we
know people are coming in on the Vikings. We know it.
I mean, same thing with the Bills. Like, you just know. Right. So, I can understand where you're coming out with that. And the Vikings weren't going to be a best bet for me, but I do like the Vikings.
Hope not.
And I think after, I will say to the listeners, after I see the spreads come, I usually don't bet these, obviously, till like Monday morning for that game. Once I see that 80%, 90% of the money or of the tickets are on the Vikings, I'm not going to bet them.
You know what's gonna be dope is when 80% of the money is in the Vikings and the Eagles go to 2.5 to 3. And everyone's gonna be like, what the hell? Like, that's when you're gonna know, like,
Something books are cashing in.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Kirk Cousins is a beta or not. Maybe we'll be back next week with some Kirk Cousins positivity.
I hope to be dancing on that fool's grave. I hate Kirk Cousins. Dude, I listen to all these football gambling podcasts, and most of them talked about how the Vikings offense is going to be legit with the new coaching staff, all these weapons around Kirk Cousins, and this is the year they take a step forward and see what they did against the Packers. They beat them 23-7, right? Like, 23 points isn't that sick. Their rushing average 4.5 yards per carry. That's dope. Justin Jefferson, he had 9 catches for 184 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's dope. Kirk Cousins, 23-32, 277 yards, 2 touchdowns, only sacked once, no interceptions, 119 quarterback rating. That's dope. They scored 23 points. The Packers had no offense. They had no juice in that game. They scored 23 points. I'll take the Eagles. I'll take them at home. Like,
sounds like you might take the under too. What is that? 50.5?
No. I don't know what the total is.
Well, I will say, like, when I was betting college football this week, they're basically like, never bet against Tennessee's total, which I bet the under on Tennessee, it barely hit, but it's Tennessee's like the quickest team in college football. And it feels like that's how the Eagles are going to play. They're just going to get up to the line and they're going to play faster than you.
Yeah. I think the Eagles think of themselves as one of the more athletic and physically dominant teams in the league. And they want to like play like that. They want to play fast. They want to hit you in the mouth, and they just kind of want to throw you, like, just physically overwhelm you. That's my impression from watching them. And you look at what's his face? His numbers last week, Jalen Hurts, right? So the Eagles won 38-35. Granted, seven of those points were from a pick six, but like, they put up 31 points. Jalen Hurts had really not that good of a stat line. He was able to run the ball, but like, and granted, the Lions defense is nothing to get that excited about, but like, that offense did buzzsaw through the Detroit defense. Like, you put up 38.
They also gave up 35 to a Detroit offense.
Yeah, but it's like, that's the whole like Dan Campbell backdoor cover, we're going to bite your kneecaps off bullshit. They were also up 38-21 going into the fourth quarter. So you can make an argument they just stopped playing because, hell, Jared Goff's not going to come back from 17-4. And they were right. They were right, actually. Like,
it's the best analysis I've heard all day.
We think about covering, and if they don't cover for us, we get mad. But, like, the Eagles don't care about the spread. Like, all they needed to do is hold on to that game, hold on to win. And, like, the Lions, say what you will, I do think that whole Dan Campbell grit energy shit translates. Like, I think they play tough. Like, they're not going to give up on the game. So, like, them sneaking in the back door, I think that just gives me a better Eagles. Like, that just reduced the Eagles price in my head. So,
yeah, no, I feel all right here. Let's let these people get on with their day, and let's go to the window for our segment. Go into the window where we give out our best bets, and we'll head there now.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Go into the window.
All right, guys, we're here. We got our best bets, guys and gals. Let's get politically correct here. Jeff, why don't you give me your sides?
I only have sides.
All right, give me your. All right, here. Let me give you my sides then. So my sides. My three sides.
$10,000 on sides.
My three sides for week two are Ravens -3.5, Saints +3.5, and I just added this one because it feels right. Titans +10.
Okay. Well, shit. We're kind of samesies on a couple of these. So I really like the Commanders teased up to 8.5 and the Bengals teased down to now 2.5. But really, whatever. They're going to beat the shit out of the Cowboys. I really do. Like, whatever. I'm not gonna just say everything that I already said. And I'll take the Eagles. I'll go with those are my two best bets. I truthfully, I already have bets on the Dolphins. I already have bets on the Saints as well, but you already gave those the Saints out. So my two best bets, I'll go Eagles 2.5 at home and the teaser.
All right, so my other two best bets are Cowboys Bengals -42.5 and then Saints Bucks -44.5, and that's gonna wrap up our week two show. Come back for next week for week three. Please remember to like, review, subscribe, whatever podcast platform you're on. Appreciate you guys. Jeff, you got any parting words?
Yeah, man. Let me shout out my podcast, Outkick Bets with Jeff Clark.
My, we'll do that next time, beginning next time.
So all you listeners know my guest for this week's podcast. I'm bringing on Eston McLaren. Nate, you're going to have to come on at some point this season. But me and Eston started the Bet Slippin' Podcast a long time ago. He's going to join me for our week two breakdown. I'm doing something a little differently. We're just going to be focusing on the games we actually have bets in instead of going through each game because I just don't have a lot of analysis for certain games, and these podcasts can get pretty long. So that's what I have in store for the NFL week two. So check me out at Outkick Bets with Jeff Clark, and I'm at Twitter at Jeffrey_Clark.
Yeah, great Twitter follow, too.
Thanks, homie.
All right. Catch you guys next week. Peace.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally you get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.